turn in the scriptures now to the book of Acts, chapter 3. And we'll be reading the first 10 verses. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Well, let's go first now to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do praise You that You speak to us Your Word. That Your Holy Spirit works within us. And so, Father, now work in us. That You would be given all praise and glory for the mighty works that You have done amongst this world and amongst Your people. Father, as we hear these verses of Your Word, we ask that You would even heal our bodies as You healed this lame man. Not that, as we heard this morning, not so that we could have better bodies, but so that You would be given all glory. Because we know that whether You heal now or when Your Son comes again, You will heal us finally. And we look in hope for that more perhaps even than we ask now that You would heal our bodies that are struggling this very day. Father, we look forward to when You will give us new glorified bodies. And there'll be no more pain, no more cancers, no more weakness, but only strength and power that You work within us by Your Holy Spirit. Bodies that are not frail, but bodies that are strong. And that we hope and ask that You would give us great joy in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. These are the words of the living God. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And that is the word of the Lord. The book of Acts, you remember, is a history book of the early church. What did the early church look like? What were the early Christians like after the ascension of Jesus to the throne of God? We find these things mostly in the book of Acts. And these, from these early Christians, we see in them zeal, vitality, joy, and a Christ-focused nature. And that's something we must ask ourselves today if we have or have we lost that. Maybe we are more complacent, lukewarm, and dull. But may it be that the Spirit works in us what these early Christians had. Some of us remember the time we first believed. We looked like these early Christians with zeal and joy and a focus on our Savior Jesus. But now things have changed, and yet they have not needed to. The early Christians were fascinated with Jesus, who He was, what He had done. Their message was the person and work of Jesus. They had come into fellowship with Jesus Christ and experienced the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38, in Jesus they found joy. Chapter 2, verse 46. He was a man attested to many by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him. Chapter 2, verse 22. They crucified him. Chapter 2, verse 23. But God raised him from the dead. Chapter 2, verse 24 and 32. And declared him both Lord and Christ. Chapter 2, verse 36. And here at the temple, Peter offers Jesus to a soul which was needy. Again, the apostles, early Christians, were focused on bearing testimony of Jesus. And that must be our focus as well. Who is Jesus? He's been proven by the Scriptures to be the Messiah, the Christ. The Jews were looking forward to coming and deliver them. And many have been hardened in heart, but some have believed. That was Peter's sermon. And the effects of his sermon in chapter 2. At that point, as we heard 2 weeks ago, they asked, what shall we do in view of this truth that Christ is, that Jesus is the Messiah, He is the Christ? And they were commanded to repent and be baptized with the guarantee that they would receive the covenant promises by the Holy Spirit. And that day at least 3,000 had come to faith. For salvation, that's approximately how many, perhaps more, have come to faith when we come to chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 43 has told us what? Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And so when we come to chapter 3, we are given an example of that. Wonders and signs being performed through the apostles. Here's one. We hear a true account of the man who was born lame. The first point this evening, born lame. Born lame. Verse 1. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. That is mid-afternoon, like 3 p.m. They were going to the temple. They are going to the temple, not to sacrifice animals according to the ceremonial law that was abrogated in Christ. They went during the hour of prayer. And so they went to pray. They went because that's where many Jews gathered at the ninth hour of the day, and they were to minister the gospel first to the Jews, first to those in Jerusalem and at the temple. And so they went to minister the gospel. They went to bear testimony of the Christ who had come and died and risen. Also that more Jews would believe the gospel and the salvation. Verse 2. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along. And they used to sit down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. That is the gate that was called Beautiful. In order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. There we have the reality of the fall. Showing again original sin. This man was born lame. Is it because he, in particular, he sinned or his parents sinned, like we think of in John, the blind man, the man born blind? Now, we cannot say that. It does not say. But certainly here we could say he was born this way because we and he live in a fallen world. Because of sin having ordinarily descended even from Adam. Why is it that there are some who are born today with Down syndrome or who are still born? The list goes on. We could come up with a number of things. Why are some today born in such a way? It is a result of the fall of man. The passage before us is a true event that happened physically, but in application, we can learn much spiritually about ourselves and the world around us. This man was born lame. He could not walk. He had to be carried from place to place. Every day, someone or a few people would carry him to the gate of the temple that's called Beautiful, so some would take pity on him and provide for him. Obviously, he could not fend for himself. He could not work for himself. He goes to the correct place for help, those who are in need. Where should they go? He goes to the God, where the people of God gather. Here at that time, it was the temple. Where are we to go when we are in need? Where are people to go when they are in need? They should come to the church, not the government, as we've heard a few times now. He was begging for alms. And this man would be considered the social outcast of his day. Perhaps as we might even in America consider such people social outcasts. Because this is the example of Peter and John we see here, who we ought to minister to, even those who are the social outcasts. Peter and John minister to this man. Verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. He needed help. He wasn't afraid to ask for it. This man was born lame. He was a cripple. And he could not do much of anything for himself. He could basically just sit there. And that's it. And now again, as we apply that spiritually, this is true of our state where when we are convinced and conceived in our mother's womb, there is nothing that we can do. We are helpless, blind, not just because we're a baby or in the womb, but as it has to do with goodness and righteousness before a holy God, we can do nothing. We are helpless. We are blind. We are deaf. We are mute. We are lame, Isaiah says. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. This man could do nothing. He was born lame. And if you have not come to Christ by faith, you are one because you're apart from Him. You can do nothing. Nothing good. Your motives, your heart is dark. You are in darkness. And because of this, you will be judged for all eternity. But as with this man, so with you, there is the possibility of hope. There is given the promise, as we heard the last chapter, there is hope found in Jesus Christ alone. And you are called here, just as this man is being called, to come unto Him and believe and repent of your sins that lay hold of you and bind you and weaken you and make you like this man in his physical state, lame. You can be strengthened in Jesus Christ, but only in Jesus Christ. The second point this evening, miraculous strength. Miraculous strength, verse 4. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And most people, when they come into contact with a beggar, they turn their eyes away from them because they don't want to have to talk to them, social outcasts. They also don't want to have to give up any of their money. And that is the same thing that you have done and I have done. You just keep walking when you hear people begging. You ignore them. But the apostles know why they are there. They are there to minister the gospel to all types of peoples, even the lame beggar. And it is no matter where they go that they knew that that was their calling, to minister the gospel. No one is too poor, no one is too weak, no one is too sinful to not have the gospel given to them or to withhold the gospel from them. They show compassion towards them, and he called the man to look upon them. Matthew Henry says, "Our eye must be always towards the Lord, the eye of your mind and heart. And in such a way, the eye of your body must be properly fixed on those whom the Lord employs as the ministers of His grace." Also that what? You would be in a position, like this man, to fix his gaze on the ministers of grace, John and Peter. That they would, he would be in a position, that you would be in a position, being more apt to receive the grace of God, being focused upon His Word, read and preached. Look at what Peter says. He says, "Look at us." He didn't need to be called twice, this man, to do so. Anyone who would speak to him, he would, of course, look upon them and he would expect to receive alms from. And so he gave them his attention. He expected to receive something from them, it says. But did he expect spiritual riches instead of physical riches? Verse 6, But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. Peter doesn't have alms to give. But what he had and what you have, beloved, what we have is something of infinitely more worth than silver and gold. To the world, what we have is rubbish and worthless. It isn't, as we think of ourselves as Christians, it is not often in the world that a follower of Christ can be said to have material riches. Not many. And here they do not bribe anyone in the kingdom of God, or into the kingdom of God. They don't bribe anyone into the kingdom of God. How many in this world, in the church, are apt even to give charity, but not the gospel? And we see the opposite here. Christ is given. Christ is offered. How is Christ offered, you ask? Only the power of heaven could heal this lame man. Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6 says, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. When God comes, He will come and save you, was the promise, and the lame man will leap like a deer. And here is a sign that God has come. He has come to save. And who is it that speaks the word of healing? It is Jesus Christ. The apostles do it in His name. They show in this that they have been sent by God. But the word of healing comes from Jesus Christ. Psalm 107 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Peter speaks on behalf of Jesus and literally says, rise up and walk. And he's saying that, Peter is, with the words, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Peter's saying, I say this by warrant from Him, and it shall be done by His power, power only from Jesus Christ, and all the glory and praise of it shall be ascribed to Him. Here's Peter telling the lame man to do something he lacked the power to do. Peter's not just telling him to do it, he's commanding him to do it. He's commanding the lame man to do the impossible. Rise up and walk. Now, this is interesting because today there is, even as we heard this morning, there's a controversy in the Reformed world, something that, again, the elders are going to be dealing with at Presbytery, dealing with the man who believes that the Mosaic Covenant, that is what we'll see in Exodus, the Mosaic Covenant is a republication of the Covenant of Works. This is more specifically that Israel had to merit, through obedience, their way into the Promised Land. And we do not believe that. That's not what Scripture teaches. But those who believe such a thing have to redefine the term merit. It's no longer that which was possible for Adam to do, and Christ did do, that is perfect obedience and righteousness that merits eternal life. That merit, that we agree to. But it, by some, have been redefined to include some kind of imperfect merit before God. And that is something, if you go down the line, will diminish the gospel. It diminishes the holiness and righteousness of God, that He would accept imperfect merit. And of course He does not. That He would stoop down to the level of man because of their state and be accepting of imperfect merit. For any man, for any merit, excuse me, by this redefinition must be imperfect as it is tainted with sin. And we see this lame man had no power, no strength of his own to stand. He had no power to stand physically. He had no power of himself to stand spiritually before a holy God. God doesn't accept that lack of power or strength or righteousness. What does he do? He heals the man. Here we see, as we all, apart from Jesus Christ, this is the way we are. Apart from him, you can do nothing. This man of his own accord can't get up and stand and walk. You are, as Paul says in Ephesians, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You cannot make yourself alive if you're dead. You need Jesus just as this lame man needed him. And so verse 7, after Peter commanded him to rise up and walk, it says, and seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. The man is raised up by Peter, and he stood, his feet and his ankles immediately strengthened. It was impossible for this man of himself, with his own strength, to rise up and walk. But with God, all things are possible. One commentator says, when God, by His Word, commands us to rise and walk in the way of His commandments, if we mix faith with that Word and lay our souls under the power of it, He will give His Spirit to take us by the hand and lift us up. If we set ourselves to do what we can, God has promised His grace to enable us to do what we cannot. And by that promise we partake of a new nature. And that grace shall not be in vain. It was not here with this lame man. Miraculous strength given by our Lord. The sign points us to the great reality of the future when our bodies as well as our souls will be completely freed from all weakness. And so we look forward and hope to that time in the last days before the coming of Christ for that to come. And finally, outcast worship. Outcast worship. He worships. In response, verse 8, with a leap, he stood upright. Notice that he leaps. And began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. He leaps up into the air and fulfilling just what it said in Isaiah 35 that we read before. That then shall the lame man leap like a deer. He was leaping around, entering the temple, showing forth the work of the Lord Jesus. He was praising God. He found in himself such a degree of strength in his feet and ankle bones that he did not stand up gently or with fear and trembling, like if you had just gotten your cast taken off, perhaps you want to go gingerly on the leg, perhaps if you broke your leg. He does not do anything like that. He's not getting up weakly or with weakness. But he started up as one, like if you are refreshed from sleep, you boldly get up and with great agility as one not questioning at all his strength. That's the sign we often see with a new believer in Christ. There is no trembling with him or walking with a staff. He walked strongly and steadily. A cure, healing had been manifested in his body by the Lord Jesus. Something had happened that is not in ordinary, and it is not ordinary in God's providence. That is a miracle. A miracle is something that does not happen in God's ordinary providence. This is something that was not what we might say normal. That's what a miracle is. Should we testify of what the Lord has done for us before others? The man is a testimony to us that we must do so. And so others will see God's great works, as the psalmist says. Let us as Christians not be found looking to the world like the lame man who was weak and could not stand, but rather as God's grace works through us by His Spirit, let us be devoted to the Lord, walking before Him in all instances of religious conversation. Let's stand up stubbornly for Him and walk cheerfully with Him. A Christian should not be like the lame man begging sinners of this world, but proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the works of Jesus and praising His name to the world. To those who are actually weak and lame, blind, mute, and deaf, to preach it to them and praise Him before them. And what did this man do? Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. How was he healed? He was healed by Jesus. And how are you to be healed this day? Isaiah 53 says, the suffering servant passage, by his scourging we are healed. At the cross, when he died and received the wrath of God, it is through that sacrifice that we are healed. But we do not hope in temporal healing, for this man would still die in his body, though it was strengthened here. But we hope in eternal healing of Christ that will one day perfectly restore us in both body and soul. So, beloved, we need to know this. The physical healing in this world points us to something more permanent. The healing of our souls and the healing of our risen bodies. This lame man at the temple was commanded to rise up and walk, something he was clearly unable to do. In a similar way, the gospel comes to us, commands us to turn from our sins and believe in Jesus Christ, as Judah and Jerusalem were commanded to repent and turn from their idolatries and believe in God. Something that we are equally unable to do ourselves. In order to be able to do this, something radical and miraculous must take place, in which sinners are rendered able to do that which we are naturally unable to do. And he was leaping and joyful, praising God. People saw him. People saw his excitement. They saw his joy about Jesus. Only God could do something like this. And as the people saw him walking and leaping, praising God, they realized that this was the man. They didn't usually see him like this because he was on the ground all the time. They probably ignored him, but they saw him a lot. But they began to realize that this was the lame man who used to beg for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. This man walking is the one who used to be so weak and a cripple. He was lame. He was that way from his birth. Nobody had ever known him to be otherwise. How could such a man like that suddenly begin walking and walking with such strength now? And they knew this was from God. Even as he professed and confessed himself before them that it was from God. And so they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This lame man was healed physically. That's a fact. There's no metaphor or allegory here. But this passage does apply spiritually. We can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so again, we're called here to come unto him. You must come unto him and believe. Otherwise, you'll be like the lame man for all eternity, unable to do anything and dying in your sins. And judged. And Christian, you must come to him. Plead for mercy, for his grace and strength. And may the Lord give us his spirit to renew our joy and our love for him, just as this man had when he was healed. Let's pray and ask for that. Our Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for this testimony of your miraculous wonders, your great acts that you were doing amongst the apostles, through them, that people would glorify you and praise your name and believe. Even as Peter will go on after this passage and preach another sermon explaining what happens here, and more people will be saved. Father, we ask that you would heal our bodies, though our great hope rest in a time to come when we'll have new glorified bodies and we'll enter into heaven with you, our souls and bodies, and worship you for all eternity. There we will have great joy and excitement and great zeal and vigor for your Son. And yet, Father, we confess that we struggle with this now. And so by your Spirit, strengthen us. Give us great joy in your Son. Give us zeal for the gospel to tell people, even the outcasts of our world, the gospel unto salvation. And may you bring many to faith unto yourself through him. We pray also for our children, that you would, as they've heard the gospel many times, that you would finally turn their hearts unto you. And we rely upon you in this, for we cannot save them. Only you can. Cause them to believe now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.